And then
Go
into
into
our
full
recording.
screen.
Yep.
Telling you, right?
Well, no, it's a different PowerPoint. So
Oh,
actually, you've
I
done
think
that.
it's this little icon right
This
here.
guy?
The four. Oh, there we
Oh.
go.
Okay.
So
So,
let's pull this over to the side a little
okay.
bit.
Well, they can't see that.
It doesn't show up on the recording. Oh, okay. Then good.
Well, it might just be, yeah, I don't think so. Maybe it does.
There we go. Let's do that.
So, also, you guys, because we're recording our screen, we can't see your guys' pictures. So, if you have anything to say, you'll need to go ahead and unmute yourselves. So, we can't see you going like
You may
this.
have to talk up a little bit.
Oh, look
Who
at
ever
me.
thought we would hear you say that?
So, what we are talking about tonight is listening. We put out in the reminder email that we are also going to be doing intuition, but we've decided that we need to break these up into two separate courses because there's just too much information for each one. So tonight we are going to be talking about listening.
This
There we
one,
go.
yeah.
I got it. Okay. So inner guidance, right? Be silent and listen, and you will be able to hear your inner guidance. Not Rumi. Knows what he's talking about. When we're talking about listening, generally speaking, we will be talking about active versus divine listening. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about the active listening, and Colleen is going to be talking about the divine listening. We talked about this subject a little bit last month, and we're going to go into it in more depth tonight. And actually, this slide is a little bit, I think probably use the other slide with the whole body listening instead of this one. We can talk about that a little bit more. Colleen will talk about that a little bit more in her part, but what's come to us in the last little bit when we've been listening for this class is that it's actually whole body listening, that it's mind, body, and spirit. And that does involve active listening as well. I would say that
Oh yeah.
that's your
Yeah.
mind listening. So, she'll be talking a little bit more about that, and we'll be kind of continuing to develop what exactly that means as the course goes on. So, active listening. Here are those skill builders again, and I'm actually going to go through them. Listening is not the sexiest topic out there, we will admit, but we talk about it a lot because it's probably one of the single most important things that you can get good at in your practice and in your life. It's been crucial to both Colleen and I. She has been working on it longer than I have, and there's still things that each of us are learning to this day about listening, skills that we are continuing to build around listening. But what ends up happening is that you are able to, when you start working on it, you're able to switch into your active listening more easily, which then leads to your divine listening. So I'm going to go through these because I'm talking about the active listening tonight.
Skill builders.
These skill builders. I wait for others to finish speaking before deciding how to reply.
Can I add something
Yeah, please
before?
do.
So I just want to add that what these skill builders are with active listening is these are your daily life listening practices. And so one of the things that you can choose to do to become better in active listening is to choose one or two of these skill builders and really practice them. And so we're going to be reminding you about these skill builders throughout the course now on our Facebook page. I've done a recording of them. These have really changed my life. I took these to heart. And they have changed my life in so many ways in just my interactions with others, because I really am such a great listener now. It has brought me tremendous freedom. And so anyway, Robin's going to go ahead and read each of them so that you can focus your attention on them.
And I think in this world, Reiki world, we are generally speaking pretty decent listeners naturally. I think that it's something that we're called to when we do tend to listen well. But what's interesting is that when you go through these, you will definitely see some that you're like, oh, I do that. And I need to get better at that. So that's why we go through them. So I'll go through them, and then we're going to talk more in depth about active listening. So I wait for others to finish speaking before deciding how to reply. I approach important listening situations by clearing my mind and taking steps to prevent interruptions or distractions. I do not engage in other activities, such as looking at my phone, while I am listening. I resist the temptation to assume I know what others will say and tune out as a result. I never finish sentences for others when they stumble or pause. I avoid letting my prejudices cause me to tune out. I avoid tuning out others when they say things that I do not agree with or do not want to hear. I resist forming a rebuttal in my mind while others are talking.
You started the recording, right? Mm-hmm.
I pay attention to nonverbal cues such as voice, tone, posture, and pace. I willingly ask people to repeat themselves to clarify a point. I avoid fidgeting when others speak too slowly or when their conversation becomes boring to me. I work hard not to dwell on aspects of others that have no bearing on the conversation, such as clothing, mannerisms, physical appearance, etc. I resist daydreaming when others are talking. I avoid using the same response repeatedly. Example, right, uh-huh, in place of really listening. I watch the tendency to use body language that does not encourage communication. And I resist the need to fill the silence. A lot of these are straightforward. And now that you are aware of the active listening skill builders, you will notice in daily conversations the ones that you may need work on and the ones that you're strong at. The one that I really want to talk about is actually, I avoid using the same response repeatedly. I think that this is one that we see a lot in healing modalities because we are trying to be very considerate and signaling to the other person that we are listening to them. So we say, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, or right. And also we shake our head a lot. All of those types of things are actually distracting us from really listening. I noticed that I did this, the first podcast that I ever recorded for a Reiki Lifestyle podcast. I don't listen to them back any longer, but I did the first few just because it's great to get feedback on yourself. And I noticed myself every time, I was like, and first of all, it was really obnoxious as far as listening to a podcast. I was like, oh, that's so annoying, but I wasn't going to go back and edit it. What I was doing in the podcast at the time is that I was actually consciously doing that to signal that I was listening to her. And it wasn't until these skill builders, I was like, oh, this is so true. This is taking up just even that little fragment of brain space and changing your thought trajectory that it is in place of really listening. So notice that you guys, that because I feel like we see this a lot in these modalities, because we are trying to be considerate. We are saying, yes, I am listening to you. So it's an interesting one. And that's really the only one that I want to get into in any sort of depth, and then unless there's any of them that you guys prefer to talk about. But start noticing these for yourselves.
I want you to check the recording.
Okay, well, you can see it right here. See this?
That's what that is? Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So all pause right. Recording, stop recording.
Okay, yeah. Thanks. See, there's a perfect example of I wasn't listening because I was sure she hadn't started the recording.
Yeah, like we both said, we still have work to do on these all the time. It was like cutting people off, you know, when they're talking. It's like, oh, you know. So we are definitely not masters at it. What active listening does to people is it starts breaking down their barriers. If you think about how it feels when you're truly heard by somebody, instead of having to fight to get your words in, instead of having to fight to get yourself heard, you start to relax and you start to open up. And so if you put yourself on the other side of that aisle of that, when you listen to somebody, you are doing that for them. You are in an act of receiving from them, and they are in an act of giving to you. And it's interesting because I think of it a lot of like Reiki, that you are also receiving while you are giving. You are giving the fact that you are actively listening to them. It also, sometimes you can be the only one that is truly listening. And so that's an interesting thing to think about. Sometimes people have nobody else to listen to them. So if you go into an active state of listening with people, it can break down their barriers. I had an interesting one over Christmas. My husband's dad's side of the family, we were there at Christmas Eve, and his aunts, bless their hearts, they have great hearts, but they are a bit of clucking hens. So we love them dearly, but they just meh, 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 meh. Not usually a lot of anything but kind of superficial, you know, gossipy conversation. And I was standing in the living room with his aunt, and my husband and I have been together for almost 20 years. So I have been to a lot of their Christmases, and I love this side of the family. But his aunts have never really, you know, more than just kind of superficial, how are you? How's it going? You know, here's the family gossip type conversation. And this side of the family can be very tumultuous as well. So I spent some time beforehand sending Reiki ahead to the event. But I was standing in the living room with his aunt after dinner, and she started talking to me, and I realized in that moment, like, oh, she's actually talking to me, and I need to switch into active listening right here. And that's what I did. Before, it was just, you know, kind of casual conversation. We're not in an active listening role. And I recognized, oh, she needs to be heard. And so I switched into these skill builders immediately, because once you start working on them, you can switch. And what was really, really amazing is that she actually went into some of her stuff and ended up crying with me and like opening up some things that I don't know if she said to anybody. And it was the first time that I've ever seen any vulnerability from this person. And I watched how just switching into the act of listening and signaling to her that I am here and I'm listening to you and you are being heard, she let out some of her heart to me. And like I said, I've known this woman for 20 years. So that's some of the things that can start happening to you in your family situations. But also, if you're ever in a situation where you're giving a Reiki session to other people, switching into those active listening is really, really important for the same reason. All right. So why active listening helps with your own intuition. I'm actually going to read some quotes, and these are actually all from Colleen. So, yeah. Freedom. I am free to be present and in the moment when I am not busy projecting my thought or filling the silence. My mind is present, receptive, and creative. Guidance. I can hear myself think and dialogue with my heart. Communication. When I listen to others with my full attention, they know they are being heard, which makes it easier for them to speak from their hearts and easier for me to understand them. Heightened perceptions. I learn to activate my senses, heighten my perceptions, and open my chakras to listen with my whole body, my body, mind, and spirit. When you start to actively listening, all of these things start to happen. And so it's a snowball effect as far as how it relates to our own inner guidance, because you start to also, this starts to also happen for yourself. You give out and you also receive it. So it comes back to you tenfold, but then you also notice that your skills, you can switch into them that much quicker. So you can have heightened perception. This isn't just for other people. This also can apply to yourself. And the freedom that you get from active listening, I can't tell you how freeing it is for both of us.
Oh yeah.
And our opinions. When you start moving into that listening rather than just having to get your opinions and your words heard all the time, oh my gosh, it's almost like you can feel your whole body relax. It's really freeing in your entire life. And when that happens, that starts to opens you up and opens your perceptions. So that's how active listening can really help tie in with your inner guidance and your intuition. I think that is on to divine listening.
Okay.
Unless you have anything to add for that.
No, I think that covered it really well. I guess looking at this way, are we able to see if anybody has any questions?
Oh, we do. Okay, thank you. Hold on 1 second. I'm already having insights from the
Nice.
Does anybody have any questions real quick before we move on the active listening skill builders or anything like that? Yeah.
I wanted to ask, Colleen, you've been in Japan and you know that during the talking to person, you kind of need to say hi, and especially in the customer service, I have to say something. I'm hearing you. So, and I see that sometimes it's distracting for me because I wouldn't want to interrupt their conversation. So are there any advice on that? Just kind of just looking at them and listening, or how can I apply those principles into different culture? That's my question. Mm-hmm.
And so for you guys listening with that, hi in Japan isn't hi like hello, it's an agreement. So I do, of course, we noticed that with Sugako-san, you know, it was hi, you know, pretty constantly. And so some of you got to meet her last time, Lena brought her on in the computer. I think you'll have to practice it and see how that goes. This is also time and place. There are many times I'm not in active listening because I'm not in an active listening situation. So just like Robin said, when that happened here, she's in family holiday, she's used to being a certain kind of an energy and then recognize, oh wait, this is a different situation. It would be good for me right now to go into active listening. And she knows what that is, so she can shift. So it's also in your customer service, that kind of thing. It might be a whole different situation and culturally way too difficult to be that different. I have had some people, some close friends of mine actually complain for that reason, that it has shifted how I'm engaged with people at different times. And I have one particular friend that's like, oh my God, just, you know, chatter. And like, I just don't have as much chatter in me as I used to. So it has made some of those kinds of shifts, but those are pretty uncommon. And I think in your situation and the culture you're in, you know, you'll just have to find your way. And when you're in a session, then, you know, maybe that would be different. But practice it and play with it. A lot of this comes down to consciously noticing.
Mm-hmm. And applying what's right in your situation. I think that's a really good point, Lena, though. Thank you very much for bringing that up. That it's, you know, these were developed in the United States, and it's signaling listening is different across all different cultures. So that's an important, really important point to remember. And I think I agree with Colleen. We'll have to find a way with
and,
it.
And if I may.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so that for this is information that what they actually have an actual word for that in Japanese called aizuchi, which is like if you ever look at a video of any like a speaker who speaks in Japanese, the audience is all nodding their head and like or something at the same time. And because in this culture, and I learned this in Japanese 101, it actually to them, all of the things, the ahums and the hype, as Lena mentioned, that is how they register that, you know, your feedback. So for them, it's culturally different. So Lena and I have to, as you say, find our way because when using these active listening skills in sessions, there have been some major results. But as she said, we have to adjust it for the everyday society because you'll look strange if you don't those things.
Yeah.
Well, and my experience, I have dealt with both the Hispanic world and the American world in communication, and because of regional differences, they certainly have different styles. But what I find in common is that you can really tap into what needs to be said and how to communicate by. You know, I, instead of thinking of it as active listening, you know, very go, like we go and actively listen, it's more like a softening where you just open yourself and become a little more receptive and you're not like jumping to answer a question or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Perfect. Adana.
Yeah, thank you.
And these are just a baseline. So adjusting them in whatever situation that you're in. And yeah, you're right. It's a receiving. It's a softening and a receiving of this person confiding in you in whatever manner that is.
And sharing
yeah. with you.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting, Lena and Monikai, to share with us how that goes culturally. Because it is then how do you listen through that cultural difference? Mm-hmm. So that may be one of the things you teach in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how to listen in this style.
And Lynn, did you have something you wanted
to? Yeah, I did want to say something. With the active listening, I think what it does is it keeps you very much in the now, in this particular moment, not your response that's coming in a moment from now, or not going back to what you heard 5 minutes before, but in this very moment. And I Colleen, when I met you for the first time over in Japan, I was impressed with not only your you made me feel very welcome at home, but you were very in the moment. And I think that was a testimony as we're looking to this active listening. You were right there in that, excuse me, I had a little bit of cold this last month too. You were right there in the moment. And I think that's a bigger gift that we can give to each other and to our clients than many other things, because we live in a culture where we don't listen. So this is just a beautiful thing. The other thing I wanted to say, this is the therapist in me coming out, so I hope I'm not too far off base, but if you're ever dealing with somebody who has had a stroke, oftentimes this is a symptom of a stroke, there's this term called expressive aphasia, and I don't know if that's familiar to people, but it is a deficit with a stroke, so that you've had some damage to your brain, or anybody with any kind of a brain injury, you've had some damage and you want to say things and you know what you want to say, but you just can't find the words. And sometimes when you're in that moment with people, you can, you'll have a sense that they know what they want to say and that they just can't find the word. And sometimes it's actually gracious to help them find the word. Because it's very frustrating for them and they can become depressed and very labile sometimes simply because they know what the word is, but darn it, it just won't come out. So in some of those unusual situations, and I would categorize them predominantly with people who've had strokes, it is a little bit helpful sometimes and kind to help them find the words if you're in a therapeutic session with them for Reiki.
Absolutely. And again, that we're going to talk about whole body listening now too. And I think that falls into that whole body listening, because if you are listening on that level for a person, you really would be in that very whole body listening. Mm-hmm. There would be a telepathic component to that where you're really dialed in on them to try to help them communicate. Thank you. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I didn't realize how much I didn't like it when people finished my sentences for me until I was reading the active listening. I was like, they're not supposed to do that. I want to finish my sentence or like fill in a word.
It's when you start listening, it really does highlight how much people don't listen.
Yeah.
So there's the next thing you have to use.
Right. I'm so much conscious.
It's like, all right, right. So I'm not judging them while they're not listening to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really true though.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say real quick, this is a little off topic. It's hard for me because we're on a shared computer. It's hard for me to chat along with people who are chatting on the side. So that's because then it gets my kind of hands in the way, but we'd love to see it. So we are seeing it. And thank you for everybody chatting too. So, but it's just hard for me to respond while this is happening.
Yeah. Cause our keyboard's up here. Yeah. Like that's how we would have to be typing. And our hands are down here.
Yeah. So.
Cause we're on a laptop. My desktop went out.
Okay.
Phoenix.
I don't have a question so much as a comment. So I'm a psychotherapist. And so 90% really of that job is listening.
Yeah.
And I'm just going through all of those skill builders though. I'm not doing half of those. And especially I'm an avid head nodder. Cause I feel like not always, but the person is really looking for that feedback just to make sure that they know that I know that I'm really listening and keying into them. And I'm really looking forward to being more mindful in my next sessions and taking like maybe reading the skill builders beforehand. So it's really fresh on my mind to see where I can go with it. Cause I'm not saying that it's not right, but I just feel like especially some of them would be really, really challenging, especially with certain clients.
Yes.
And you'll gauge that.
Yeah.
That's listening. You're still listening.
Yeah.
You know, you're listening for, well, which ones are right, which, you know, it puts you in a different place. Mm-hmm. And I was an avid head nodder too. And my husband was finally said, oh my gosh, you just are like this the whole time. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. And he brought it up to me and I had to learn how to practice not doing that all the time. And it does get more comfortable. But of course, there are the times that it's like, oh, yeah, you know, but there it's just it's more.
And it is specifically why I brought that one up, because I think that we in these fields are being very cognizant of the fact that we are letting people know that we are listening to them and they are being heard. And that is the reason that we do it in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see some clients, you'll probably still need to do it. Maybe you'll tone it down. Maybe you'll continue it at the same pace with some, and others, you may find yourself not needing to do it. And when you do go into that consciously, it'll be interesting to see how that looks for you. It's a big one in when we're podcasting together. You really have to make sure that you are listening to everything that that person is saying before you come in with what you're saying too. So that'll be interesting for me. And I think that's the thing too, is we all think we're really good listeners. And I think most of us are probably, but there's always, even still we're working on these skills. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the freedom sounds awesome, because I've definitely been in some sessions where I notice that I'm nodding my head a lot and I don't like it. I feel like I have to, but I don't like it that I'm doing that so much. So maybe it can give me some permission to not do it.
That'll be really fascinating to hear, get the feedback from it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, divine listening. So divine listening and active listening happen at the same time. When we're talking about divine listening, people often talk in these fields about listening to your heart, which we need to do that. I also believe we also need to listen to our logic and our instincts. And we need to listen to our mind as well, that they have a voice. Our heart has a voice, and often our heart and our head have different voices. So the other part with divine listening is moving into a whole body listening. So you're actually listening from every one of your chakras and your heightened perceptions. My granddaughter actually is the one who taught me a lot about this. And she was 5 years old, and she came up to me. We were sitting in our Reiki room, and she said, "You know what, Grandma, can you talk to God and even when you're not praying?" And I said, "Yeah, I can talk to God. I talk to God all the time." And I said, "Guess what? God talks back to me." And she said, "You know what? I used to be able to hear God, but I can't hear God anymore." And I said, "Okay." And I sat her on my lap, and I started putting my hands on each of her chakras. And I said, "You may not be listening or hearing in your ears, but you can hear from here and here and here and in your heart and in your belly." And I went down all the chakras and kind of put my hand on each one with Reiki, but it was quick. And she said, "Oh, wait a minute, I've got it." And she took her hand like this, and she turned the top, and she said, "I've had my school brain on the whole time." And she said, "Now I can hear." And it really taught me so much. It became a thing in our house of I've had my school brain on, or I need my school brain on.
Have my Reiki brain on.
In my life, sometimes I need that school brain, so I got to screw it back on too. But that's the whole thing with divine listening. And they go together. What I've been shown, and I couldn't really find, I wish I was more artistic. Oh, we didn't do the one with the chakra.
Yeah, we did.
Is that chakra slide on here? There it is. Not that one.
Sorry.
The
it's
other
going.
One.
Yeah, there
it that is. One. So this image, the whole body listening, mind equals mind, body, and spirit. So you can see in the chakras, starting at the root chakra with the red, The orange for the second chakra, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, moving up the body. And you can also see the field outside of you. So divine listening actually comes from a whole place of like a 360 listening in the physical world. In your mind, you've now activated into a whole body. And in your spirit now is stepping in and also has a voice. So let me think of where I was going with all that. As your whole, I know what it was. One of the things that I've recently really been shown is about our instincts. That our instincts are a healthy part of our ego, part of creation. And often our instincts that are designed to have a whole 360 view, because our instincts are designed in our body to notice what's happening in our environment. Is there a tiger on the other side of the fence? Do I stay inside the fence? You know, safety issues, instincts, like what do I need to do to live on this earth? So what's happened now in a lot of ways is our instincts have been replaced by emotions. And often the instinct has been replaced by the emotion of fear. And some of this is going into the subject of imagination that Tamsin, you asked about after the last class, and I said we would be talking about it. So in this whole body divine listening, we are now actually activating that more internal instinct ability that our body naturally has in each of our chakras, to be paying attention to our environment. So does that make sense? Am I at least making sense? Because some of this is information that Reiki has been showing me really for about the last 4 or 5 months about really healing those instincts and the ability to listen to them, to hear them, and they're a part of the whole body, mind, and spirit. So here's the other thing that I was shown, is that often we decide that we're only going to listen from one part of us. Maybe we're listening from the root chakra, or maybe we're just listening through our mind or through our ears. So, I lost track again. Speaking of listening. So what happens is each of our chakras has its own area of perception. So our root chakra is typically our perception of our life on earth. What's the material world? How are we living in it? Then you have the perceptions of creating and innovation and creation. So in the sense of divine masculine, feminine, and the creation of life and form. And then the third chakra, where the yellow is in the solar plexus, is often our expression, our self-expression, how we actually perceive the world and are perceived in the world. And then our heart and our heart chakra, the green there, and our throat chakra with our voice. When you become an active listener, listening with your whole body, sometimes you're going to hear what you need to know when you say it, and you didn't even know it was going to come through. And then your intuition, you're listening up here in your intuition, and you're listening to spirit here. This is also happening behind you. I also actively work with this chakra, is the mouth of God chakra. Is that showing up?
It is, but you need to turn back around.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the mouth of God chakra that's right back here. And I feel like that's the voice in the back of my head. A lot of times when I hear that, like, sudden inspiration, it feels like it's coming in from back here. And so I actively work with Reiki with each of these chakras so that I'm listening in a whole body. What I've been shown by the chakras is that oftentimes they're not listened to. The whole body isn't listened to. And it showed me in a picture like an oval table, and each chakra had a voice at the table and was showing how every single one needed to have a voice, and there was a talking stick in the middle. So each chakra had the right to speak, and the other chakras were listening. So that had to do specifically, when that was first shown to me in imagery, was with the logical mind, and then also with the instincts, understanding that the logical mind needs a voice as well as the heart. They need to work together. All of the system needs to be working together in your listening. So we're going to do a journey about that tonight, about the listening. And we wanted to go to imagination. Is that in here? Yeah, find my... She has to find my stuff for me because I don't know where it all is.
She doesn't always go in order.
Yeah, I don't go in order. I'm a really circular thinker. Okay, so here is a quote by Einstein. Many of you have probably heard it. Imagination is more important than knowledge. For knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. So Tamsin, you know, I really took to heart your question. And
the question, for people, you know, I've seen it.
The question, can you repeat it? You read it more specifically. Tamsin was asking about psychic abilities and journeying, and
also
how the imagination plays in with all of this.
And imagination as far as as a clairsense.
As far as a clairsense.
And discernment.
And discernment.
Between imagination, what's real and what's...
Yeah. So anyway, it, you know, really made me focus. And I wrote an article called Reiki Heals Your Imagination, because the imagination is the doorway to all of this. The imagination is actually a sense. And what I was shown in my Reiki practice is that almost every single person needs their imagination healed in our culture. And that is simply because we are trained to think that imagination is what you make things up with. If something happens, like in a journey, did I make that up or did it really happen? We think of imagination as belonging to creative people, rather than realizing a mathematician needs imagination. Einstein used imagination. The origin of all ideas, innovation, creativity begins in the imagination first. The same thing is true in metaphysics. So in metaphysics and in journeying, we are actually activating imagination as a sense. And imagination is the doorway. It includes your intuition, your inner guidance, your instincts, all of those fall into a category that I think of as your authentic intellect. Knowledge fits into that, but authentic intellect is a little bit different. So imagination is one of our authentic intellects. So we're going to work with healing that tonight in the journey too, because I find that to be a really big one. And then Tamsin, the other thing that I wanted to answer in your question that was online, and I know we did answer it, so I'm just going to talk about it briefly, is in how this trains our psychic abilities. What I've discovered in working in all of these modalities for so many years is that there are a variety of styles of psychic abilities. And it really depends on which one you decide to train in and focus your attention on. So for instance, as you were talking about the person who had the ability to predict things like in an exact way, or let's say a person who is a medium. For me, I do quite a bit of mediumship, but all of my work, because I'm working with Reiki, is really based on healing. So my psychic abilities always come through in that kind of a style rather than, say, in a predictive style. So in other words, also the way that my journeying works, and again through my imagination, is it shows me pictures that are metaphorical. So I never think of how my journeys reveal the information to me as being exact. Sometimes the information comes through in a way that it makes no sense to me, but it makes sense to the other person. In my own life, the way the information comes through to me, let's say I'm thinking about, an animal, and it shows up as a black horse, and it really turns out to be, we have a blind pony. You know, so it can be different than the exact interpretation. So things...
And scope of practice in developing your skill.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the scope of practice and...
In just mediumship and stuff.
Oh, and mediumship. So a lot of that also comes down to what you decide you're going to focus your abilities on. Because really all of this is a training. And our focus in this class, if you think about what the class is for, is conscious intention through inner guidance and using Reiki to access your conscious intentions and to access your inner guidance. And then through that ability, it helps you decide what your next steps are. So that is an everyday, all day occurrence. It changes every day. It can change in the middle of a moment what you need your inner guidance for. So the specific tools and techniques we're working with in this case is to teach you these journey skills that are going to heighten your telepathic abilities. It's going to heighten your access to your inner guidance, which then also can include the journey techniques for others. So what we want to happen for you guys in this class is your skills, your listening skills really develop, because that's the foundation of it all. Next month, we're going to dive deeper into intuition. That's another foundation of it all. Imagination is another aspect that we'll continue to just reference and talk about. And then doing the journeys that we'll be doing, we'll have you work with the automatic writing, because it's another tool. You guys may decide, well, I'm not big on automatic writing, and that's okay, and you don't have to do that. But it's another tool you can have that is helps you develop these skills so you can track down what's happening in a journey. So then we move into the actual journey itself, which we're going to do in a few minutes. And the journeys, as we talked about before, always include what do you need to let go of and what do you want to bring in. Remember, we talked about that in the interview, that when you're talking to a client or when you're doing a Reiki session, typically those two things are happening. The things that are no longer serving the person, the energy is actually lifting from them, taking it from them and healing that energy itself. And then in addition, it's actually revealing the qualities that you need to be able to move forward in this process of accessing your inner guidance and then applying it to your everyday life, because we all live everyday lives. So how do you actually apply all of these skills in the busyness of your work, in the middle of driving, in the moments when you get to have the time for an hour of self-Reiki? And it's not always about healing. It's also about empowerment, because that's the other thing that listening does, is it opens up your access to that field of possibilities. I've taken you guys to the field of possibilities, haven't I? Yeah. So it opens that access to that field of possibilities. But the next thing that it does is it applies it in your daily life, because that's the ticket, is it all needs to apply to, everybody here has a different reason that this is working for you. And so it has to apply to you individually and uniquely. So some of it, of course, we're talking about as a practitioner, because many of us are practitioners. And then we're also talking about it for ourselves individually.
Well, and I think, Tamsin, your example at the beginning is perfect. I mean, yes, you get to the point where you can develop it, where you can switch into it when you're driving and on a moment's notice quickly. But what tools do you have to do spiritual or personal research and access your inner guidance, so that you can answer these big questions when you have them come up in your life? And that's a perfect example of how, why we're doing all of this is to help you with those kinds of situations.
Yeah, exactly how you used it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I just noticed the time and we want to get to our journey.
Any questions real quick?
Anybody have any questions real quick?